Yes, it's time for the burning question. This week it's about hemp, and Peter wants to know about the sustainability of hemp and why it's not more widely used. He writes, and I quote, "How much serious science is being done to evaluate hemp's suitability for various uses and products? And what are the barriers preventing the use of hemp on an industrial scale?" ABC Science reporter Nick Kilvert has been investigating this one. Hi, Nick.
G'day, Michael.
So, hemp, let's just make sure we get this straight. Hemp is cannabis, but you would be wasting your time trying to smoke it. Am I right?
That is correct, yeah. So, this is where a lot of the confusion comes from. Hemp and cannabis are effectively the same plant. The most common plant that's grown for both of them is the cannabis sativa plant. But the difference is... When the plant is grown for people to smoke, it's grown so it's got a high THC content. That's the psychoactive constituent that gets you high. And when it is grown for hemp, that THC component there, it's selectively bred to keep that really low. So typically below about 1% versus... If you were to buy cannabis on the street in Australia, research has found that that runs at about sort of 15% or more THC content. And in the US, where cannabis is legal in a lot of states, they're actually trying to get that THC content up. And that sort of percentage is sort of up there around 25% THC content.
Okay, so we've established same plant but different concentrations of THC. So yep. You're wasting your time if you're trying to buy commercial hemp for that kind of property. But is it because of the stigma of marijuana and its use in the community that hemp hasn't progressed as far as it could have?
Pretty much, yeah. So it's when I started looking at this, I was quite surprised to hear that we actually brought a whole lot of hemp over with the first fleet.
Really?
And that the idea was to Joseph Banks was a big fan of hemp as a product, but basically the United Kingdom were essentially reliant on hemp. So they were using it in the sails of their ships. They were using it as ropes for their ships. They were even using a hemp extract as a waterproofer on their ships. But basically they were reliant on Russian-grown hemp, which it was a sort of difficult, precarious relationship to keep going there and to be completely reliant on Russia. So... there's actually some historians that think that bringing convicts over to Australia was just a bit of a side affair, and actually the main game was about establishing an independent hemp industry to supply the United Kingdom.
Oh, that's really interesting, and there's a theory worth exploring at some stage. Now, you spoke to the Australian Industrial Hemp Alliance, which I didn't even know existed until you're telling us about this. And what are they saying about the way marijuana was promulgated as the evil drug in holding back hemp over the decades?
Yeah, so when marijuana was banned, it was sort of a late 1920s, 1930s era, and it was really painted. You might have seen it. There was a propaganda film in the US called Reefer Madness.
Oh, I've seen it.
Basically, so that warned that, you know, it was quite a sort of racist film, really, but it basically warned that your children were going to become sex addicts and engage in these wild sex orgies if they had a single puff of marijuana. And Australia kind of jumped on board with that. So there was a newspaper at the time called The Smiths Weekly in Australia, and that ran the headline, "New Drug That Maddens Victims," and it described marijuana as an evil sex drug that caused the victims to behave like raving sex maniacs. So that was the kind of fairly
right, of course, Nick.
They were.
Yeah, right on the money.
You know, we're wrong these days. We've gone downhill. But
yeah.
at the same time, there was that kind of attitude around cannabis. And then also in the US, DuPont invented nylon. And so hemp was seen as a bit of a competition for nylon as well. So suspected there might have been a bit of political interference there. And that kind of all came together at the same time as the US was ending alcohol prohibition.
Okay.
And so the government department that was charged with cracking down on alcohol, then sort of had nowhere left to go. So they turned to marijuana as the kind of public enemy number one. And because of maybe because of some of the confusion around the association between marijuana and hemp, but also it was a little bit, there was some competition from
some other
industries.
I was going to say commercial self-interest could play a role here in political lobbying. Okay, let's come through to present day and Australia. It's now legal to grow commercial quantities of hemp.
So in the 2000s, basically state by state, they started to legalise hemp. And then one thing that was holding it back was that you couldn't sell it as a food product, but that changed in 2017. So you can now sell it as a food product as well, but it's highly regulated. So in most states, it's got to be below 0.35 of a percent of THC content. And in a couple of others like Queensland, it's got to be below 1% THC content.
So let's just explain to people, what are some of the uses for hemp as a product? What can you use it to apply to?
Yeah, so there's it's a fiber, so you can use it to make clothing, so you know, like things like cotton. It's also, as I mentioned, it's a really good source of food, so it's really high in protein, the seed. But there's a difference there if you're growing it for a fiber or for a seed. For a fiber, they plant them far apart and they grow them really tall because you're using the stem of the plant, whereas the seed, they're growing them short and shrubby and trying to get a lot of seeds. But the big sort of emerging industry now is a thing called hempcrete, which is it's a building material where essentially it's a really good carbon sink. So it draws in a whole lot of carbon dioxide, firstly while you're growing the plant, but also after you build with it, it continues to draw down carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere.
That's pretty amazing. So that's a really nice attribute to have in these conscious times. But in terms of growing it as a commercial crop for farmers, how thirsty is it? How many nutrients does it need? Fertilizer, land use, what are we talking about?
Yeah, so it's less water intensive than a lot of comparative crops. But again, like other crops, the more water you give it and the more nutrients you give it, the bigger it's going to get. So it can survive in fairly harsh conditions, but it's much better suited to where there's more water. It still does need fertilizer, especially nitrogen. But again, not as much as some other crops. And it's also quite pest resistant. So comparatively, it does have some pretty good environmental credentials there.
And Nick, while you're growing it, I noticed too that it can play a really significant role in environmental cleanup, particularly of heavy metals and soils.
Yeah, so that's a pretty amazing thing that the plant itself has a really deep, complex root system. And so what they've found is that it will actually draw up heavy metals. They've used it experimentally around Chernobyl, and they found that it decontaminated the soil out there. And then there's been some German researchers who found that it'll actually pull up lead and cadmium and nickel in the ground. They've also found that if they plant it on the tailings dams of gold mines, that it'll actually suck up little flecks of gold and into the root system as well. So those applications are pretty fascinating.
So there's a lot to love about hemp. Mm. How big is the industry in Australia?
Yeah, so it's still growing. So because it's had such a short life, right now there's 2,500 hectares roughly that are planted with hemp in Australia. Tasmania is our biggest state. The reason for that is basically because Canada and a bunch of colder climate places have been growing hemp for quite a bit longer. And so their industry's developed and they've developed good cold weather strains. And so Tasmania's kind of hit the ground running there. But other states are starting to catch up. So South Australia as well, they planted their first commercial crop last year. And they're predicting that the industry will be worth about $3 million within about 5 years. So it's fairly small now, but it is growing quite rapidly.
And just for anyone listening, if you're thinking of ripping off commercial hemp that's grown for those kind of building or food purposes, there's a story about a bikie gang. Tell us quickly about that.
Yeah, that's right. So James Vosper, again, who was the president of the Industrial Hemp Alliance, he said that it has happened quite a bit. So the DPI don't actually publish where hemp crops are, and the reason being that people have ripped them off. So people have gone in, either mistaking them for marijuana or thinking that they'll sell them to people as marijuana to make a quick buck. And one man did actually do that, and he sold his crop to his stolen crop to a biker gang. And I don't know the exact details, but apparently they did nearly kill him. So word of warning there.
Yes, yes. Thanks for that advice. Nick, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Michael.
ABC science reporter Nick Kilvert. And hopefully, Peter, that answers your question about the sustainability and long-term future of hemp. If you have a burning question, just write to burningquestion@abc.net.au. I'm Michael McKenzie. You're listening to RN.